Okay, again, good evening, everybody. It's my bad up. It's Tony McCurry on Tuesday night, May the 16th, I think. But change it up a little bit. I'm gonna do a series. I don't know how long it's gonna be. Probably not too long. But I'm gonna do a series on the fruit of the Spirit, and it's used in two different places in Scripture. It's used in Galatians, and it's used in Ephesians. And just to give you a little heads up, I've never done this before, and don't know many people that have. Well, I take that back, because usually Bob gives us the theme, and that's what we all go by. But anyway, I'm going to give you a heads up and say that, well, my study at the conference is also going to be fruit of the Spirit, Ephesians 5. But tonight, I'm going to do in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, because the fruit of the Spirit is what each and every body member is to live by. You know, that's an attribute that is Christ-like, and that Paul teaches, that Christ himself taught it in his own way, and all the attributes therein. And when we live that type of life, then Christ is glorified in us. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day. Lord, for this beautiful day. It was gorgeous down south. Lord, we thank you for this day. But Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us that we can't see. Lord, all those things that are behind the scenes that you're doing for us with your grace. Lord, we ask that you be with those that are on our hearts that needs either a healing or a comforting touch. Lord, we have many people that needs a comforting touch, Lord, as they go through a struggle in life. Lord, we thank you for that you did on the cross in bringing salvation to mankind. All they have to do is just ask. And Lord, we thank you for that you did from before the foundation in creating the body and giving mankind, or the body members today, those that are with us on tonight, the understanding that we have the most blessed hope that any man has ever, you've ever given to any man on this earth. Lord, we're so thankful for that. And Lord, just be with me as I deliver this message, that it be for the uplifting and edification of the body. It's in all these things I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Again, I'm going to be doing a study on the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. If you want to go ahead and post that. In Galatians and Ephesians, we have this phrase, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-sufferings, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. After this, the previous verses speak of the works. The previous verses speaks of the works of the flesh, which is just the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. We have a counterbalance here. The works of the flesh is corruption. It's the works of man. You know, man can a lot of times can't do, when he gets selfish within himself, he can't do anything to bring forth the blessings of Christ. The works of the flesh is the opposite ends of the spectrum. The body of believers use Paul's teaching as their daily walk, which includes attitude and actions. But the fruit of the Spirit is that the Holy Spirit produces through a practical, self-controlled life for Christ. The earthly fruit, seasonal fruit, that we consume is the finished product that gives health and nourishment to the body. Even Christ strengthens the body with all his godly attributes, as opposed to the works of the flesh. In chapter 5, it's a constant battle of the flesh and the spirit, and the law is used in accordance to the flesh and earthly failings. The fruit of the Spirit is not dispensational, but practical and doctrinal in truth. Again, fruit is the finished product. The one morning I was laying in bed, and this was on my heart, and I had to get up and write this while I was thinking about it. The attributes of God or Christ Jesus, our head, are in the fruit of the Spirit or light. Christ is mentioned elsewhere in Scripture as the light. In John the Baptist is said not to be that light, but to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that came into the world. Light is the opposite of darkness. Light allows one to see. Light allows man to see his wrong when he walks a Christ-like walk, and to bring forth salvation. In Psalms 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." In Ephesians 5:1, Paul tells us to be followers of God as of children in all their innocence, and walk in love, the main attribute of our Christ. When we follow the light of Christ, he shines forth in us. If the body of Christ have a continuous love, unconditional love, and live a self-controlled life, then we are a true testimony for Christ. That in the whole nutshell is what I feel is the fruit of the Spirit. That we as members of the body, not just us, but even in Galatians, the previous dispensation, they're taught to have this attitude, this frame of mind, as I'm going to be going through in Galatians 5. And all the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, I think I have like 38, 39, and I don't think I have them all. But in Galatians, the major portion of Galatians is devoted to refuting the teaching of such that would lead back the Galatians. Galatians as a whole had more Gentiles in the city than Jews. For many of them desired to be under the law. And Paul declared unto them that this was a removing unto a different gospel altogether, although there being in reality no other gospel. It was a perverting of the gospel of Christ. The time period of Galatians is mid-Acts, around A.D. 57 or 58, between the winter and the spring. Paul starts out in Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty or freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verses 2 and 3, Paul telling them that if they want to be circumcised, they are indebted to the whole law. He's telling you, you don't want to be circumcised because that's not for today. Because if you do, you're going to be in a debtor to the law. And three, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. That submits to be circumcised, such as one to become a proselyte. So the Gentiles of the time had been persuaded that they needed to be circumcised, even though Paul had done taught them different. In 5:4, Christ has become no effect in you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Here again is a whole study entirely of how law comes into play or does not come into play in this part of the Acts period, because it's already been done away with. The only ones that were practicing law at this time were the Judaizers that wanted to bring the yoke of bondage onto the Gentiles. So if you want to be one of us, then you have to follow our customs, which really wasn't even in effect. And we drop down to 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but to love and serve one another. This liberty is a freedom. They've done been freed from the bondages. And Paul's telling them that. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Because when you look at your neighbor or another person, it's just someone that's around you, if you look at them with the same admiration that you have for yourself, well, then you're not going to be judgmental of them, because not many people judge themselves unless they read Scripture and say, well, I'm messing up with this. But in Rothman Bible, those two verses say, for ye on the thing of freedom were called, brethren, only turn not your freedom into an occasion to the flesh, but by means of your love, be serving one another. For the whole law in one word is summed up, namely in this, thou shalt love your neighbor as thyself. In Galatians, I'm going to go on down 16 all the way through. In 16, thus I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. This is night and day, light and dark. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would or the things that you want. In 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. He's using the law here as judgment. So if a person then and now, and I know the law is of none avail whatsoever right now, and technically it wasn't then, but if you live a godly life and live according to the fruit of the Spirit, the law will be of none effect. You're not under the law, for you're not working the works of the flesh if you live the fruit of the Spirit. that would bring you under the law. The Spirit makes free from the law of sin and death. The law is made for a fleshly man and for the works of the flesh, not for a righteous man. If anybody lived according to the law back in Exodus and Old Testament, then they weren't judged or had to do the offerings and sacrifices, even though it was impossible not to. It's the same today. If you live with a spiritual walk, then you're not going to be judged of nobody, because they're not going to have anything to judge of you. In 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and it goes on into all the ugliness that mankind practices. And to the person that's unsaved or that just live a worldly, lustful life, these are the attributes that they live with. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I told you in times past, they that which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In 22, but the fruit of the Spirit with the article, which denotes the giver, the Spirit, this comes from God, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law again. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. These, you notice, love is the first attribute that comes up, because it's the biggest attribute that brings forth Christ. If a person has nothing but love, then you can see Christ in that person. Even if I've known of people that I've never heard their profession of faith, but yet they have this glow about them of love. And you can't help but to know that they definitely have Christ, because it just glows within them. The word temperance there is my word that I'm going to be working on tonight. And it's really not going to be that long of a study. But with affections, let's see, in 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And that's with the passions. Thus they add to laws condemning power, which is only for the fleshly and their lust. The law of love is very properly called the law of Christ, because he revived it, rescued it, recommended it, and enforced it. Frequently urged it upon his followers and exemplified it in his own life and conversation. Therefore, called a new commandment. And his commandment, this is my commandment, and a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, in John 13:34. In Galatians 6:2, they are told Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now John 13:34 is the commandment that Christ himself gave in his own words. A new commandment I gave you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Cecil, several months back when he was in Jeremiah 18, he did the study on the potter's house. And the potter was forming the clay, and it didn't turn out the way he wanted to, so he did away with it and started anew. He goes on to say that Jehovah never mends what man has marked. He always substitutes it with something new. When Christ says, I give you a new commandment, is it possible, this is a question, at the time that he asks this question, or makes this statement, gives this new command, is it possible that all 633 other laws are done away with? I think that's the mitzvah, the laws of the mitzvah. And there's only one law now, and one law, I think personally, that took place at Christ's death. That's my own personal opinion. That is the law that mankind is to go by according to Christ's preaching in John 13. And in Galatians 5:25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. This spirit that we walk in, the fruit that we are to exemplify of Christ in us, is something that I try and remind myself every day, because I need to personally try to exemplify the love that Christ expects us to. You know, it's just one of those things, especially in this day and age, that there's so much hatred in this world. The Greek form temperance in verse 23 is ingratia. It's self-control. This is something that I personally need, is more self-control when I discuss Scripture to very opposing views. Now, if it's a regular customer in the shop, I'm not even going to think about arguing with them. But if it's to my sparring partner in the shop, I will spar with him, and sometimes I get slightly angry. And that's where my self-control needs a little work. But then again, I just turn around and walk off. Instead of getting any more angry, I just walk off. But two other Greek forms found in the post books are sophron, and which is self-controlled, and enkratēs. In 1 Timothy 3:2, Paul tells Timothy, a bishop or an elderly person of the church must be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, and that's sophron, which is self-control. Good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. In Titus 1:7-10, for a bishop, again, the elder of the church, must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed. Here, you know, it's not self-willed. We don't do our own desires. We do that which is right for the church. Not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good man, sober, that soul frame again, self-control, just, holy, temperate. There's temperate again, self-control, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. In Titus 1:10-6, oh no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to Titus 1:10-11. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. And then 16, for they profess they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. In Titus 2:2-5, I need to get the workman's interlinear because I want to read what Jack said on Titus 2:2. But that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate. Here's the word temperate again. That's sophron. Sound in faith, charity, and patience. And the workman's interlinear, Jack Eberly writes, how great is it for fellowship of the body to be sprinkled with the hoary head? These poleoi, and that kind of threw me because I said, what is that? So I had to look it up in the Greek, but it's an old, worn out antique. So he's referring to the aged man here, and he used that Greek form to describe it. But I kind of got a kick out of that. So these poleoi should be centered on subjects of life, focused on serious matters, wise in their deportments, thoroughly grounded in his holy word. Their faithfulness should be patterned after Christ. They should be deep in his love. Their endurance would be matters of encouragement to their followers. Such men are an asset to any body of believers, just like such men are an asset to the body of Christ. But I like the way he used the Greek form poloi, and you get up there in verse 2, and it's prebutas, is Presbyterian, or whatever. All right, prebutas. I'm just reading it because I'm looking at the Greek form, and I can't do it, Mike. You're going to have to scold me for that. I just kind of got a kick out of that. And in 1 Corinthians 13:2, and when we look at the gifts that's bestowed upon us as body members of right division, of how God allows us to see Scripture rightly divided, or gives us the ability to study and understand Scripture when we see it. In 1 Corinthians Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. There's a song out today with pretty much those same words. And it's a beautiful song, and you get to thinking the depth of what is actually said there. Even though you can know this scripture letter by letter, Greek form, Hebrew form by form, and if you don't have love, what good is it? Because this is the main subject that is throughout Scripture. When love is practiced, you can get a person, it's done been proven, that is an anger issue. But if you get someone in front of them that displays nothing but love, that person with issues is going to see the love, and they're going to react with love. I don't forget where I saw it, but it was proven that the demeanor you portray with people, you will get a result in. And positive out of. In the barbershop, we try to display a loving or a very warm welcome when people come in, so they automatically feel at ease right off the bat. And as a body member of Christ, that is my job, not just as a barber, but as meeting a stranger in public. That's a job. But we'll finish up with the Ephesians 5:8-10, because this is going to be the start of my study at the conference. Ephesians 5. 8-10. For you are sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the world. Walk as children of light. You know, the Apostle Paul talks of how the Ephesians were sometimes in darkness. They were lost. They had no hope. But now they are light in the Lord. And to walk as the innocent children of the light. And then, I might have to pull it up. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, that fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth is in parentheses, but I'm going to explain that a little more at the conference. But that's my study for tonight. I'm glad you guys listened in. I hope that what I brought forth was edifying for the body. And hope you can take it with you and sleep on it. And it can make us all even better than we were when we came in. It's just the way that we as body members should be going. Ms. Jan wrote me a letter after my last study, and it kind of helped lead me to this topic tonight. She says, there is a sincerely or deeper need today than faithful teachers who can clearly expound the Word of God, manifesting seriousness of purpose, trustworthiness, consideration for others, and self-control. But those sentences just kind of touched me when I read them, and it helped me come to my study tonight. Miss Chan is a beautiful person when she can't help but send letters of love every time we do a study. But that's my study tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day and all the blessings you give us in. Lord, we ask that you be with those again that are on their hearts that need a healing or comforting touch. For it's in all these things we ask. In Christ's name, amen.